It's time again for our Tuesday morning visit with PolitiFact Virginia, the fact-checking service at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. They check the facts on comments and statements by Virginia political figures, and we're joined this morning by reporters Jacob Geiger and Sean Gorman of the PolitiFact Virginia staff. Welcome, fellows. Sean, I want to start with you today and ask you about an article you wrote about a comment by Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf, a Republican from Northern Virginia. He made a statement that the U.S., quote, has over $62 trillion in unfunded liabilities. When you checked that out, what did you find?
Well, Wolf had made the statement after Standard & Poor's downgraded its outlook on U.S. debt from stable to negative. Now, in a statement, Wolf said that the U.S. had, quote, over $62 trillion in unfunded liabilities. A source, so Wolf's office pointed us to a 2010 report by the Peter G. Peterson Foundation. That's a group that focuses on fiscal issues. In that report, there's a table for 2009 that lists $61.9 trillion to pay for public debt, pensions, and a range of other costs. And the biggest chunk of that figure is the $45.8 trillion needed to pay for future Medicare and Social Security benefits 75 years into the future. There's a couple of issues here. First of all, J.D. Foster, an economist with the right-leaning Heritage Foundation, told us that the Social Security and Medicare benefits are not unfunded liabilities because Congress can reduce or alter them at any time. Now, that contrasts with public pensions or labor contracts that are indeed liabilities that are legally enforceable. A second issue is that the 2009 information cited in the report is outdated. Updated figures for 2011 show the projected costs of Medicare and Social Security obligations are $12 trillion less than the figures cited in the report. And if you look at 2010 numbers, those obligations are $15 trillion less. And the bottom line on all this is Wolf misuses the term unfunded liabilities to describe the future costs of government promises. And also, when you look at more recent numbers, the outstanding costs would be significantly lower than the $62 trillion number that he cites. So we rated his claim barely true.
And Sean, you also wrote about a comment by Terry McAuliffe, who appears to be building up to run for the Democratic nomination for governor again in 2013. He made a statement that if you take the population growth here in Virginia, we are net zero on job creation, his words, since Bob McDonnell became governor.
Well, McAuliffe is saying Virginia's job growth lagged the state's population increase since McDonnell became governor in January of 2010. And what we're talking about here is the increase in the state's working age population, which is the number of residents age 16 and older who are not in the military, incarcerated, or in mental institutions. In February 2010, McDonnell's first full month as governor, there was just over 6 million working age residents in Virginia, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And then nearly 3.9 million of those people were employed. Let's turn to March 2011, the latest. That's when the latest BLS figures were available when McAuliffe made his statement. And that month, Virginia had about 6.1 million working age residents, just over 3.9 million of whom were employed. And when you do the math, you can see that between February of last year and March of this year, the state's working age population rose by about 76,000. During that time, the number of Virginians with jobs rose by just 40,400. So as McAuliffe said, job growth did trail population growth under McDonnell. Now, we also looked at how things went during former Democratic Governor Tim Kaine's term from 2006 to 2009. Under Kaine, the state's working age population rose by about 275,000, and the number of employed residents only rose by 48,000. So population growth outpaced job growth during Kaine's term as well. And that's not to say that Kaine or McDonnell are to blame for how the state's jobs pictures look during their tenures. Economists have repeatedly told us governors have little control over how their state's economic conditions. Still, McAuliffe was right. The job growth trailed population growth under McDonnell, so we rate his claim true.
All right, thanks, Sean. Let's call Jacob Geiger over to the microphone now. And Jacob, Terry McAuliffe has been pretty busy just lately because you also had an article about a statement he made. And he claimed that no funding mechanism was set up on Governor McDonnell's transportation funding package. What did you find when you checked that out?
Well, Terry McAuliffe was talking about the big transportation plan that passed the General Assembly this winter. It's an update on the 2007 plan, which is part of the longstanding effort by the legislature to raise more money to expand and improve the state's highway systems. Now, what McDonnell and the General Assembly did this winter was accelerate the sale of some previously authorized bonds so that $600 million a year could be issued in each of the next 3 years. Now, McAuliffe said that there was no repayment mechanism for that debt. But both McDonnell and Tim Kaine, who signed the 2007 plan after a bipartisan vote, had a repayment mechanism. And that was set up by the General Assembly. So one-third of the revenue from insurance premium taxes, the taxes you and the insurer pay on your car insurance, are set aside to pay the debt payments. There's also some taxes on wholesale gasoline, which is paid when it goes from the distributor to the station, not paid at the pump. So there was a repayment plan. McAuliffe told us he actually knew that, but said he was speaking, quote, rhetorically and arguing the plan wasn't going to work. We ran the math after checking in with the Secretary of Finance and the Secretary of Transportation and found that over the next 6 years, Virginia is going to take in annual revenues of about $225 million from those taxes, and it's projecting debt payments will be about $175 million. So that gives the state plenty of leeway. In fact, yearly revenues should outpace the loan cost by 28% during the next 6 years. Again, plenty of leeway for the state. And there was a plan all along, which McAuliffe knew. That's why we rated this the lowest possible rating, pants on fire.
And finally, Jacob, you also wrote about a Ken Cuccinelli statement. He claimed that the Department of Education officials investigating Virginia Tech shootings, quote, have not once gotten into the car and driven down to Blacksburg to talk to the police chief or the university president or to anyone else. You checked on it? What did you find?
Cuccinelli's spokesman told us that the university council at Virginia Tech was the only member of the school's policy group to speak with someone from the education department. And he told us in an email that this contact occurred over the phone and via email. So we called the Department of Education and asked if that was right. They told us that they had several conversations, interviews, and email exchanges with school officials during the review of the 2007 shooting. They said, though, that nobody did physically go down to Blacksburg because of, quote, the sensitive and legal nature of the proceedings, and that was why they did not go meet with folks face-to-face. So the Department of Education acknowledges that Cuccinelli's right, though the spokeswoman there at the department said that did not taint their investigation. She said there was plenty of communication via email and telephone. Cuccinelli's right, and we rate this claim true. No one did physically go from the Department of Education down to Blacksburg during the shooting investigation.
All right, thanks to Sean Gorman and Jacob Geiger of PolitiFact Virginia at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. WCVE Radio is pleased to be the Richmond Radio partner with PolitiFact Virginia. And fellows, we'll talk to you again next Tuesday morning.